This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to the Outside the Box educational podcast for coaches, players, and parents from all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. I hope you're doing fantastic. We are doing awesome, and we're looking forward to another great outside baseball Outside the Box educational podcast. And before we begin, if you're a new listener, let me tell you a little bit about the show. The title, Baseball Outside the Box, simply challenges coaches, parents, and players to stretch their minds when it comes to baseball development. We have a huge passion for coaching coaches, players, and parents around the world, and we want to bring to you the best educated teachers from anywhere in the world. So first, before we begin, a few announcements to all our listeners. You know, you could always help us. We know you go to Amazon and you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon. So go to our website, click on the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything. It gives us some credit anytime you buy something. You could also check it out if you like. I have my youth baseball drills book on Amazon. You could order it there. Our website, www.baseballoutsidethebox.com. And at that time, when you go there, do us a favor and click iTunes or Stitchers. There's a logo there. Join the show. If you really like the show, give us a 5-star rating. That keeps us going. You guys out there are what keeps the show going. We'd love to hear from the listeners. On our website, we also have a lot of other shows. Give you an idea, Jim Cromer is on there, who does a great job discussing the issues of youth baseball. We've got Chasing Pucks with Penger, and he talks about the NHL. We've got the Bleacher Bums and many other shows. So we want to shout out to a special thanks to Lineup Media Group for hosting the show. And check it out on lineupmediagroup.com. Now, if you need to email us, email me at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. Feel free to email me anything you like. Tell me about the show. Tell me, you know, what you like, what you don't like, new things you like about the show, what you want to hear, new speakers, anything about it. We're here to help you. Again, you're the lifeline of our show, and we love to hear from you every day. All right, now, our topic of the day. This is going to be a very important one because there's a lot of hot topics out there in baseball, right, and even at major league level. We're going to discuss the major shift in the pitching process. There's a lot of different changes coming in pitching, a lot of concerns. We're going to discuss pitch counts, which is a major concern for a lot of people, and more importantly, you know, why there's so many injuries out there when it comes to pitchers. We're going to look at a different perspective of pitching development. So we're excited about this. Now, the important thing is, let me tell you about our guest, Paul Riddick. He helps pitchers get better. That simple. He's been doing it a long time. Paul's a former director of the Yogi Berra Museum Baseball Camp and the author of the book, The New Rules of Baseball Instruction, and the co-author of the bestseller, The Picture Perfect Pitcher with Tom House. Paul served as a scout for the Pirates. He's a state delegate for the USA Baseball and coached in the Montreal Expos farm system. His signature velocity getting course, the 90 miles per hour club, is used by more pitchers than any other single pitching program ever created. His daily baseball newsletter, which you got to get on because there's over 275,000 parents, coaches, and players worldwide that subscribe to the newsletter, and there's a lot of information there. Now, if you need some information on Paul, we'll be giving it to you know throughout the show. More information on Paul, you can go to paulriddickbaseball.com, and that's Paul, and then Riddick, R-E-D-D-I-C-K, baseball.com. You could also go to paulriddickbaseballvip.com. We'll be talking about those websites a little bit later. And he's also on Twitter at Riddick Baseball. So now, let's get going with the show. You know we like to start right away. We want to get you as much substance as possible. We want to talk about all the differences about pitching and so forth. So let me welcome to the show Paul Riddick. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Pete. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a thrill to have you on. We pitching's a pitching's a hot topic right now, and you know, I know you've been doing this a long time. You've been helping a lot of pitchers. You know, there's a lot of things out there that you know, a lot of methods and theories and, you know, ideas and what people think, and I'm really interested in getting your opinion on what you've worked on, you know, how you got all your information, how you've developed the pitchers, why you believe in it, you know, and I know you're going to talk about the why later, but let's start off, it's very interesting about, let's start off with the 90 miles per hour club course. I'm interested in that because I want to hear about it and why was it called the 90 miles per hour club? You know, why did you decide to call it that? What's the purpose for it?
Well, it's actually quite interesting. When I started out as kind of having this passion to be, well, before we get going, you gave my Twitter handle. I don't do many things that are Twitterific. So I don't post much on Twitter. So just, you know, I don't want anybody to be disappointed there.
That's okay.
Yeah. So just to
yeah, we'll remind everybody to go to the website. No yeah. problem.
Yeah. I know some guys are really good at it. If I could get my thoughts down to 160 characters, I'd love that. But
yeah, that's the problem with Twitter, right? You can't. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to. You got to be an expert in that area. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, so when I started out as a pitching coach, my mission was I was going to rid the world of pitching injuries. It was kind of at the time in the late 90s, where really that rise of the Tommy John surgeries and injuries were kind of coming up. And I often think about the pitchers of the 60s and the 70s and how so many of those pitchers were pitching in the 80s and the 90s. But the great pitchers of the 80s didn't seem to be pitching into the late 90s. You know, I actually did a study that I published in Collegiate Baseball where I compared the pitchers of 1960 to 2000. And I forget the exact numbers because it was 15 years ago when I did the article, but the durability of the pitchers in 40 years earlier was nothing compared to the pitchers of 2000. The pitchers in 1960 were far more durable. The pitchers of 1960 threw more innings, and they threw against greater competition. And there was even a lot of four-man rotations back then. And I think I might get this number wrong, but I believe that there was one pitcher who had 28 complete games in 1960. And I think there was no team in baseball that had pitchers, an entire staff that threw 28 complete games. Hmm. So why is that? Why is the pitcher 40 years ago, now 55 years ago, more durable than today? Well, the guy I worked for 14 years, and actually we're developing a new camp there, I'm excited about, so I'll be going back to do more instruction there. Yogi Berra, I used to prod him all the time, and I've got great. If you ever want to talk about Yogi Berra, I've got. I could tell you so much about that man.
I could imagine.
Everything you think about him is true. He was the real deal, the genuine article. In this day and age, when so many athletes, you know, they disappoint. He didn't. Taught me so much. But I used to prod him about the instruction, and he wouldn't talk much about it, you know. And here's the thing: there was no pitching coach when he played. There was no hitting coach. And he used to tell a story, how ridiculous this sounds. If you've ever been down below in the old Yankee Stadium, you saw it's like a circle, right? And the locker room's kind of at the top of that circle. Mm-hmm. And if somebody went into the trainer's room, one of the players would stand outside of that door, making sure that no management came by. And if management was coming, they'd run in and tell the guy, get out of the training room. Because if they thought you were hurt or they thought something was wrong with you, you could be gone.
Huh.
Yeah. You know, so prodding Yogi, I said, so what did you do? You didn't have a pitching coach. You didn't have a hitting coach. And he said, those who figured it out. And those who didn't.
That sounds like one of his quotes.
Well, yeah. You know, when he said these quotes, it paused and you were like, okay, I get it. And so here's what happened. Excuse me, getting over something. In the 80s came the video generation. We started analyzing video of pitchers. Right? Videotape and video, you know, video recording became more affordable and everybody had it. Once we started analyzing pitchers, we didn't know what we didn't know, and we didn't know what we were looking at. And we were making recommendations based on what our eyes see and not what a pitcher felt and what a pitcher were actually doing. The 90s brought about the three-dimensional motion analysis, and that added another layer. And I would say, like, the 2000s brought about this, like, athletic pitcher where we're heavy into more training and it became part of everything. And all of those things, they're all great and they all have their place. But they brought us, they took us away, and in the 40 years, and now 55 years since the 1960 pitcher, we've yet to create a generation of pitchers as durable as the ones 55 years ago. But yet we've got computers. The computers, we're doing this, and 55 years ago it wasn't possible. We're holding in our hand more power. We have access to more information. Everything else gets better. Why are our pitchers getting worse?
Yeah.
Technology is best, and we're so smart, and we're so good, and we're so awesome as coaches, and we've got access to all this. Why are our pitch? Why do we have 9-year-old kids getting Tommy John surgery? Why are some of the most elite athletes that we see, the rising talent that blows us away, why are they going? Why are they getting on the shelf? So when I do seminars for coaches and parents, and we do a ton of them here in our office, and I always hold up this cartoon of Dennis the Menace. And it's funny, like when you show the kids, they don't know who Dennis the Menace is. But and it's Dennis the Menace is in the corner, right? He got in trouble and his parents put him in the corner. And the quote says, if you're raising me right, how come I get in so much trouble? And so I ask this of coaches. If we are so smart and we are doing such a great job, why are our pitchers getting in so much trouble?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's that for me, that was kind of the question, that cartoon that I've had for over 20 years. I remember cutting it out of the Sunday Star Ledger and in the late 90s and saying, this is our problem. And how do we fix this? So,
well, that's I was going to mention, that's a great segue.
Yeah.
What is the problem? Why is that? Why are we having these issues when back then they didn't?
So there's tons of reasons why, but here's for me, coaches talk and players feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we set to design a course, we had a very interesting conversation here in this office. We work very hard because you'd said that the size of our email subscription, we feel a heavy responsibility to always put it forth the best. So when we look at creating a program, we beat this thing to death. We beat it to death. That's why some of our stuff, like, it doesn't look so professionally done. And some of it I filmed in my garage, and some of it, because if we want to change it, we come up with something better, I need to change it quick. I can't hire a film crew. I can't do all, we do for some stuff, but
yeah, the information is more important than the actual fancy film stuff.
Right. And that's what's my, so we had this one thing that changed our whole business. We were talking about who is using our product. Who's using our product? And we have this, we have our perfect customer and the dad, and then we have our perfect kid, and this is who we're talking about. This is the average person. And then we had a question. And so Jack is the dad and Joey is the kid. And we said, does Joey have a father? Now that question blew me away, because does Joey have somebody that can help him, guide him through a process? So when we thought, maybe they don't, because we have a lot of moms. We have a ton of moms on our list that are raising their kids by themselves, and or dads that are just work a lot during the time. So we forced ourselves to develop every single drill, every single exercise that a player did not need a coach, but could get the feel. So we, and if it was something that needed instruction that we couldn't do in video and feel like they had a good grasp of it, we worked to find a different way to say it. The biggest criticism that people have of our program is that it's too simple. And so that criticism I said, that tells me and our team here, we did our job.
Yeah.
We did our job. Yeah. So I don't even remember what the question was, but
no, that's right. The concern, because you mentioned that's great stuff, because coaches, like you said, 50% of our population is divorced, so obviously there's a lot of single moms out there with kids.
More so than that, we just wanted even the players that have dads, we still our typical dad was working 40, 50 hours a week.
Yeah.
my first course, the first version of our course, was 17 DVDs. I was so proud of it. I think I was the only one who watched it. Because my dad, my typical, our baseball dad, who's probably listening to this, working 40, 50 hours a week. He's probably listened to this on the way home from work, way back from work. He doesn't have time to watch 17 DVDs. He doesn't have time to understand that program, let alone implement it. Our job is to make it easy for them to help them get their make their kid better. That's all they want.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let me ask you. There's many, many, obviously, as you mentioned, issues that could cause pitchers breaking down. Let's get to the what you think are the best, you know, the top three maybe.
Well, I'll tell you the two paradigm shifts that we need. There's three paradigm shifts. So you want three? I'll give you three.
There you go.
So the first one is this: transform your belief about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how often we're doing it. So we are not throwing a baseball. We're moving a weight.
Interesting.
The baseball is a weight. For every 10 miles an hour, it's about 5 pounds of stress on the body. So a 70 mile an hour fastball is 35 pounds.
Wow.
So if you think about it like this, let's say, and this is the problem we run into with pitchers. If you've got a kid who's got, let's go into the weight room. Come with me into the weight room. And let's say we're doing curls. Right, you're watching somebody do curls, and you see like the last couple reps of their set. They start, you know, you could tell their biceps are out of strength, and they bend their knees and they arch their back, right? So their biceps are not being used. They're just using their knees and their low back, and they're not building their biceps. What they're really doing is injuring their back and their knees little by little.
Sure.
If a strength coach was in a gym and he saw somebody doing that from across the gym, bending their knees or doing herky jerky, you know, kind of like herky jerky in the weight up.
You go crazy.
Yes. Now, I have another part of my life that I do consulting for sports businesses and fitness business. So I have over 100 clients in that area. So I know that business. There isn't one of those trainers that wouldn't yell, drop that weight, put it down.
Right.
So two things happened. Either that weight was too heavy or he did too many reps.
Huh.
So when we see, but when a pitcher starts to lose control on the mound, we don't go out there and say, drop the ball. We say, can you finish the inning?
Yeah.
Can you make it through? You got enough in the tank? A trainer would never go over to that guy bending his knees, arching his back, going, can you finish the set? Because the trainer knows the set is meaningless. The risk of injury skyrockets when form breaks down.
Yeah.
So when we think about the pitching motion as moving a weight, changes everything. So let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
With the young coaches, which let's say we're talking about volunteers, I mean, that's an easy identification when a young player starts losing control. I mean, there's no coming back from that.
When he loses control, his form is breaking down. He is now going into survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happens. People will do whatever it takes to get it done. So let me ask you this question. Let's say I take you into the weight room, Pete. I blindfold you. And I put 200 pounds on the barbell. And I say, Pete, reach down and feel it. And I want you to curl it. You would reach down not knowing how much weight is on the bar, not knowing anything else. And you would feel it, and in a split second, you would make the decision, I don't have the strength to lift this.
Correct.
So, how did you do that?
You didn't
know how much weight was there. Yeah, there's something, that's right, like that's, God did that. You know, we can't explain that. But the same way that you can lift that weight and say, I can't do it. But let's say, hey, Pete, I got a gun to your head. You got to do it or, you know. You would pick it up, you'd bend your knees, you'd arch your back. You wouldn't say, let's do this in the most risk-free way possible.
Hmm.
When a kid grabs a baseball and it's a 70 mile an hour fastball, it's a 35 pound weight, intuitively, his brain and body makes the same decision you made in the weight room. It says, I can't throw this properly. So let me just figure it out. So I'll contort my body. I'll move my body. I'll engage different muscles. I'll use different muscles. I'll do whatever I have to do to get this job done. So that's part one, is that we're moving away.
And when you do that, Paul, your mechanics get worse too.
Right. So if we continue to do curls with bad mechanics, mm-hmm. our biceps wouldn't get any stronger, our knees would get hurt, and our back would get hurt.
Yeah.
This is why we have Tim Lincecum didn't blow out his arm. He blew out his hip. Clayton Kershaw, he didn't hurt his arm. What did he hurt? I don't remember exactly. He didn't hurt his arm. He's on the DL. He mm-hmm. hurt something else. You know, so we're seeing injuries that are showing up, you know, in other places in the body. I believe any body injury is an arm injury just waiting to happen. And I can explain that a little bit.
Okay.
So the second part is, it's not a pitch. It's a rep. So we can take, baseball's really slow to take from other areas of expertise and adopt.
Absolutely.
And so if we're taking it, so if you go into some of the strength trainers that are the best in the game, James Smith, Vince Gabriel, these guys who are the best trainers in the game, they will tell you in their gym, it's perfect reps. If you can't do a perfect rep, you cut the number of reps or you lower the weight. So now this is a hard, tough pill to swallow for baseball people. If a kid can do 40 perfect reps, then in my mind, he shouldn't be out there for 65 pitches or 80 pitches. And we're going to talk about what kind of makes those perfect reps in the third point.
Right.
So when we change it, it's not about the pitch. When we think about pitches, the first thing, so if we were doing like word association, and I said pitches, to a baseball people, they would say pitch count.
Correct.
And then clicker. It's not a pitch. It's a rep. It's a rep of a pitcher moving a weight. Changes everything. There isn't a trainer in the world, a physical therapist, an athletic trainer, a personal trainer, a strength coach that wouldn't say perfect reps. If you're not doing perfect reps, you're at a risk of injury. Now, we could probably get together on another podcast and have an argument of what's a perfect rep, right? Because everybody's got a different in
baseball. The mechanical part.
Right. Everybody's got a different version of a perfect rep.
But let me ask you this, since we're on this, and then we can get to the third part too.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm trying to identify young coaches also, especially volunteers. You know, we're going to have college coaches. We're going to have, you know, professionals on listening to the show from all over the world.
Yep.
But
yep.
for the real novice, you know, who doesn't coach every day and understand it, you know, there's pitchers or young pitchers that, you know, they can throw strikes, but yet may not and I know we don't want to get to the mechanics aspect, but mechanically aren't doing the right things, but yet they're throwing strikes. Is how do coaches identify that? That can't be easy.
It's a tough job. Because we have guys, we see these guys who go to the major leagues, and then, so an interesting thing happens when guys become professionals. They go from high school or college, which is whatever, 30, 40, 50 games a year to 60 mm-hmm. games a year. Well, let me break this into two eras. There's like our era, right, of guys that played 30 games in high school, 30 games in Legion, and that was the end of it.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So those pitchers that came out of that system played a lot longer and were a lot more durable than the pitchers that are coming up through our current system, which you play fall, winter, spring, and if you can find an indoor place in the winter, you play in that, and you play in the summer, and you're on two travel teams, and you got a showcase, and you got this. So what did we increase? We started increasing total reps. And now we're seeing pitchers that are number one draft picks that are having Tommy John surgery, and they're still number one draft picks. We're right. seeing guys get to the major leagues and get injured 2 years in. Why? Because their rep count went up.
Huh.
So if we to go back to the weight room, we got that guy doing the bad curls, and we say, hey, you're still getting the weight up. Why don't we double the amount of curls you're doing? All we did was accelerate his path to an injury if he doesn't have perfect form.
Hmm.
So that's my thinking. That's kind of the thinking that we use in our program. So – people have confused our program with a velocity program. We're really not. We're not one of those programs like when you see these guys doing crow hops and medicine ball, throwing 10-pound balls. We don't do any of that. What we do is first is we get you operating at maximum capacity. First, don't do any. Let's get what you have. Let's tune up what needs to be tuned up. Let's fix what needs to be fixed. And we see massive jumps in miles per hour when kids are just not fighting, you know, are not fighting themselves. You know, when we get them moving in the right direction and we get them training the right way, we see very quick miles per hour. You don't have to do all of these kind of crazy things. Now, there's not a place for all that, but 90% of the pitchers I see are not ready to do all that stuff. So if you got a kid with poor mechanics and you have him throwing a 5-pound medicine ball, you just took the guy doing the curls that can't finish it and added 20 pounds to his curls.
Yeah, and if you got a young kid who's really weak, that could be really detrimental.
Yeah. So there's a very innovative strength coach called Greg Cook, and he said, don't add weight on – the quote is, don't load dysfunction. And what he means is, like, don't add weight. Don't put strength. Don't add weight on top of dysfunction.
Yeah.
So that's been a guiding principle for us, is that we want to – most pitchers have dysfunction, and just by turning them into a functional pitcher, we can help them. So number one is we're moving a weight. Number two is it's reps. How many perfect reps can we do? And then having our you know, and I'd be happy to come back on to have a longer conversation on this, but is how do we identify that? And the first sign is an anomaly in performance. So you get a kid who's going good, and all of a sudden he walks four guys, or he walks three guys, he can't find the plate, he's done. He's a guy doing curls, bending his back and bending his knees. You know, get him out of there. Don't try and survive to finish the inning, to finish a game that doesn't mean anything. We've put so much meaning on these, like artificial meaning on these games we play now.
Sure.
You know, it's like we're the champions, and we know because it says so on the trophy over there. It's, you know, it's not, you know where I'm going. We could have another one on this too.
Exactly.
So the third thing is recovery time. Every strength coach in the world knows this too. When we have, so we get it in a macro sense. We know that a pitcher needs 5 days off. In the major leagues, you know, needs 5 days off. We know that there's pitch counts, and we could talk about that too. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's a great system, but
yeah, we're going to get to the pitch counts, definitely.
Awesome. So we know that kids need X amount of rest between starts. We know that after a season, a kid needs some time off. Some of us do. But the thing that we don't get is in the micro. And in the micro is the time between innings. We've got four major league pitching coaches that endorse our program. Very humbled by that. I have tried with all my might to get college programs, to get professional organizations to just chart this, not adopt anything, just chart it. Because to me, it's like, I feel like, remember that Bugs Bunny cartoon where they can see the mirage? You know, we're old enough to remember that. Remember, like, nobody else can see the mirage and
yeah.
Bugs Bunny. and that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm the only one who can see it.
And Paul, baseball, as you know, baseball is a traditional sport. Changes
right.
Real slow, obviously.
Yep. So if a pitcher, and we can merge this right into pitch counts. So let's say a pitcher throws 15 pitches in the first inning, and his team goes and they get a couple people on, and they score a run or two, whatever. And then he goes out there and he throws 15 again, and his team has gets a runner on. That pitcher can pitch like that all day. The same way as if I gave you 30 pounds to curl, I say do 15, and I'll give you 10 minutes off. Come back, do 15, do 10 minutes off. You can do that all day. So pitch counts in a measure of what's on the clicker, the total amount of pitch counts, is ridiculous. Because it's, first of all, it's not how many pitches they throw, it's how they get to it.
And what you're saying also, which I think, you know, something I've never heard before, and I think this is why the show's great, that, you know, we bring in these innovative thoughts. What you're saying is what's really important are the rest time between the innings that pitcher's pitching.
That too. Well, yeah, the first thing is the total. We're looking at the total as a sum total, right? Mm-hmm. So you get a kid who throws 35 pitches in the first inning and then throws 20 pitches in the second inning. Well, the clicker says he could throw 10 more. And the rules say 10 more, but he was probably done in the first inning. So the first point is, it's not how many pitches you throw, it's how you arrive at that total. So I could tell you, I could give you a scenario where a 10-year-old kid that could throw 120 pitches at a very safe, effective way versus throwing 35 in a row and being in injury, risk of injury.
Hmm. Does that also depend how long rest he's had between the inning? Like if he threw 35 pitches and, you know, they got three quick outs and he's back out again, or if maybe they're, you know, that inning took 5 to 8 minutes, does that make a difference?
Yeah, that's the second point is how much time do they have between. So if a pitcher throws 15 pitches and his team has a normal inning, he's fine. But if he throws 35 pitches and then let's say his team goes down 1, 2, 3, and 5 minutes later he's back out there, he has not had enough time to recover. So the strength community, the strength trainers, they get this. They sure. Time they will have people time the rest between, and they will structure the rest between sets. So a baseball is a weight. The motion is a rep, and the inning is sets.
Hmm. We don't have a chart. And I'm looking at, again, with volunteers or even, you know, high school, college coaches. You know, the high school and college coaches, that's their education. They get educated more. They listen to more podcasts. They, you know, go out and do some research. They go to courses. You know, our volunteers, God bless them, they do a lot. But, you know, they are volunteers. Sure, they got a full-time job. You know, this recovery time is real important between innings, I think. Is there
huge.
We don't have something out there because the average person is not going to be able to identify this. You know, how long, you know, he threw 35 pitches, but yet he rested 10 minutes. Do we have anything out there like that yet?
No.
Okay.
No. So here's a simple formula that I give. Your offense can't run your pitcher back out there until he's recovered, right? We all agree the pitcher is the most important position on the field. The only people that argue with that are catchers.
Yeah, I don't blame
them. Catchers think, whoa, you know, I get it.
But, yeah.
Pitchers are the and so we got to make sure that the offense is working to support the most important position on the field. So let's say a guy throws 35 pitches. We use a very simple system: green, yellow, red. If a guy throws 15 pitches, we're green. Go about the offense the way the offense normally would. If a guy throws 25 pitches, we're yellow. Slow things down a bit. Walk up to home plate. Don't sprint. Look down for some signs. Tap your cleats. Ask for timeout.
Sure.
Now, I'm not saying delay the game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying delay the game. But I'm going to tell you this. I would much rather have an umpire get mad at me for delaying the game than me running a 10-year-old kid out there and risking his injury.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. As coaches, we kind of did that instinctively, maybe not understanding that, you know, we told players, hey, take your time, you know, two quick outs, you know, to rest our players. But, you know, we really, I don't think we're focused on the pitcher only. It was the team aspect. So this is very interesting.
Right. Yeah, so if a guy throws 35 pitches, we're red. We're red. That means the team's got to slow down. You might need to take a pitch. You know, you might need to do some things because now – if we can buy the pitcher, so let's say the average inning is 10 minutes, whatever it is, 8 minutes. I think it's like 7.5 minutes. But so let's say it's like, you know, we can add 2 minutes to that. Well, that's a 20% increase in recovery time.
Wow.
You know, that's huge. If all of us, if everything in our lives got 20% better, if we were 20% thinner, 20% more muscle, 20% more money, 20% more free time, it would be great.
It'd be awesome.
So 20. Right, yeah. So we can do these things. And so for a pitcher to have that time is huge. And remember, we're trying to support now the hitting coaches are going to argue with this because they're like, oh, you know, my hitter's got to be in rhythm and got to hit. Yeah. I understand that. But let's think of the team. You know?
All right, Paul, speaking about the team, I'm going to hold you just for a second. Hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. And then we're going to come right back with Paul Riddick.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.